The Nashville-based trucking company Yellow abruptly shut down operations earlier this week and is headed for a bankruptcy filing. This comes after years of financial problems, which is according to a recent report from the Congressional Oversight Commission. The shutdown means more than 30,000 people are suddenly out of work. And labor organizers say that this mass layoff points to broader issues that truckers face. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you or someone you know been affected by the Yellow shutdown? Maybe you're a truck driver, or you used to be, or you want to be. What are the biggest issues you see facing people in that job? You can join in now at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ann Bailey is a writer, activist, and labor organizer. She's a former long-haul truck driver and author of the book Semi-Queer, Inside the World of Gay, Trans, and Black Truck Drivers. She's our guest now. Ann, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yellow was one of the largest trucking companies in the country. Put this into some context for us. How does it fit into the larger matrix of the trucking industry?
Well, most truck drivers drive for mega carriers such as Yellow. So they are independent contractors or employed by these mega carriers, and they don't own the truck. They drive the freight that the company tells them to and are paid by the mile in order to deliver the freight that we get everywhere. Yellow is one of the, you know, maybe 10 huge mega carriers that dominate the freight industry.
And Yellow was a less than truckload carrier. What does that mean?
LTL is the type of freight where you're not delivering the entire content of your trailer. So in a semi-truck that's a tractor trailer, the tractor is the part with the engine that you, you know, sit in. And then it attaches via a fifth wheel to a trailer. And in LTL, what's in the trailer is split between deliveries. So you don't take the whole trailer to a place, which is called drop and hook, taking the trailer to one place and leaving it to be unloaded later. Instead, you take it to a place, some of it is unloaded, and then you take it to another place and some of it is unloaded. So it's just sort of, if you have enough stuff but not enough stuff to fill the entire trailer, then you hire someone who does LTL freight delivery.
If we nationwide don't have as many LTL, less than truckload carriers, what ripple effects could you see coming from this?
Well, truckers deliver everything that we eat, wear, do every single day, right? So if there are less LTL carriers than usual, there could be shortages of any of the things that we expect just to sort of automatically appear on store shelves. And one of the things that truckers care about is that we the general public, notice and think about how stuff gets there, and, you know, depriving all of these people of their jobs also deprives us of the convenience of having stuff just easily and automatically where we expect it to be.
In Wisconsin, sometimes we have that conversation about food and farms, or like milk coming from not the store, but from actual dairy farms. And you're saying, yeah, but to get from the dairy farm to the store, you gotta, it's probably going on a truck.
Right. Yeah. When I was a semi driver, I was with a company based out of Appleton, Wisconsin, Rail Trucking. And we frequently delivered to, Meijer or Menards or any of these. So, you know, it starts at a farm, but then it needs to be put on a truck and taken to a distribution center or a warehouse or a big box store. And then that's how we get it.
Yeah. And we don't always see that. Ann Bailey is a writer and an activist and a labor organizer, also an author and a former long-haul truck driver. And we're taking your calls about trucking here on the Ideas Network. You can use the number 800-642-1234. And we've got John in Oconomowoc ready to talk with us. Hey, John. We actually lost John. So, John, if you want to give us a call back, that's great. Or if you have experiences related to Yellow or beyond that when it comes to trucking, or you have a question about the trucking industry, we might be able to tackle it now. The number again is 800-642-1234. 1234. And the Teamsters Union, which represents Yellow's 22,000 unionized workers, said that the news about Yellow shutting down was unfortunate but not surprising. Who are the Teamsters? They're mentioned all over these articles. Help us understand their role in trucking.
Well, the Teamsters was traditionally the union that dominated trucking and still, as you said, organized Yellow, but very little truck driving work is now organized by any union. So it used to be about 85% of truck drivers were in a union, and now about 18% are in a union. So the Teamsters was hoping that the Yellow contract and the UPS contract, both were up right around now, would signal a shift in organizing freight movement. And maybe that happened with UPS. I haven't seen the contract because it isn't voted yet. But with Yellow, it didn't. With Yellow, as you know, instead of getting a decent contract, the company declared bankruptcy and just fired everyone. So that's not what you hope for from a union. And as a union organizer now, I can say that in an industry with 18% coverage, a union can't do a lot. I mean, I would love to blame the Teamsters, but it's really hard to compete with unorganized workers who bottom in terms of freight shipment charges. So truck drivers don't make hardly any money compared to what they used to. It used to be a route to middle class life, and now it's a very much less pay for the amount of work that you do. And with fewer and fewer trucking companies unionized, that becomes even more true. And it's hard, that smaller percent, you know, 18%, to make a difference in the industry. So trucking as a job pays less than it did before, and very few workers are in unions.
You mentioned early on, too, the idea of being paid by the mile. What happens when your truck is broken down or you're stuck in a traffic jam if you're paid by the mile?
You don't get paid, right? So there are very few industries in the U.S. now that are piecework pay models. So, you know, it used to be standard. Like, think about Victorian seamstresses being paid per, you know, lace collar or whatever. And that was made illegal, and instead we got an hourly wage, right, minimum wage. But the Department of Labor does not control either trucking or farm. Those are both controlled by other
And I'm going to go ahead and jump in here. I'd love to get back to the rest of your question, but we are having some trouble hearing you. So we're going to make sure that our connection is solid here. And I'll go ahead and remind our listeners that now is a time that they can be part of this conversation. We can call 800-642-1234 if you'd like to join us on the phone. We've also posted this story to the Ideas Network Facebook page, so you're able to weigh in on that. And also, you can email ideas at WPR.org. We can go ahead and talk to Steve in Johnson Creek now. Hey, Steve, what did you want to share as we're talking about trucking?
I quit counting after 40 years of trucking. I started in the 70s. I actually started driving before I even had a driver's license, which don't tell the DOT. But my concern with Paul is that the safety people in cars aren't really told the safety around semi-trucks. Granted, everybody tells them how unsafe they are and all this other kind of stuff, but it's
All right, Steve, I think we're having some connection problems to you, too. But Steve brings up the issue of safety when it comes to driving trucks. And Ann Bailey, I think we've got our connection sorted out. What do you see when you're thinking about safety and truck drivers?
Truck driving is a really dangerous job. It's one of the most dangerous jobs there is. And the government wants us to believe that regulations are to encourage safety, but that isn't, in fact, the situation. There are so many regulations now directed at drivers rather than at companies that the job becomes increasingly unsafe. If you look at
crash statistics for truckers, you can see they go up every year, even as the government clamps down with more and more regulations. So the regulations are about managing workers, not about safety. But the caller is right that four-wheeler people, people who drive regular vehicles, don't consider the safety of truckers the way that they should. Like, we should be taught how to drive around trucks so that the trucker is protected, at least to the extent that is possible, out on the road. And that's not currently the situation. Like, never pull into the gap that truckers leave in front of them on the highway. They left that on purpose so they can stop. It takes a long time to stop. And frequently, you know, vehicles see that and rush into it, and that puts them and the trucker at risk.
I wonder, is it just the size difference, the physical difference, where people figure, well, they're in a big tractor and I'm in a car, they must inherently be safer? Or where do you think that comes from when you say that people driving those four-wheeled vehicles don't think about trucker safety?
Well, I mean, trucking is a stigmatized job, and truckers are considered, in many cases, just not valuable. So there isn't a system in place that values and respects what truckers do or have. So, you know this because truck stops and truck parking are being reduced, and nobody wants truck parking to open in their neighborhood. They want it to be somewhere else, anywhere else. And that's because there's a feeling that truckers are disreputable, unclean. There isn't a sense that we all depend on their labor all the time, and we should make choices that value and respect them. And so that's part of it, right? But also, even though they're big, trucks don't have airbags. There isn't anything technical in the truck that keeps the driver safe. So just being aware of that is important as well.
Ann Bailey is a labor organizer with the Service Employees International Union. We're talking about the state of trucking, the working conditions for drivers, and that's especially in the wake of trucking company Yellow ceasing operations earlier this week. Lines are open. You can give us a call and join this conversation at 800-642-1234. We just heard Ann tell us the assumptions about truckers that we know aren't true. Next up, we'll get into what truck drivers really look like and the lives they really lead. This conversation continues here on the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking with author and labor organizer Ann Bailey about the state of the trucking industry. And Ann, you wrote a book. That book is called Semi-Queer: Inside the World of Gay, Trans, and Black Truck Drivers. So tell us, who are the people that are driving trucks across our country?
That's a rapidly changing question. So people's stereotype is that a trucker is a white man, maybe middle-aged, maybe overweight. This is not true. It was true at one point when trucking paid well and offered independence and some degree of respect. But as the industry changes, those people flee it in search of other jobs that they can get. And the people who flood the industry are women, queer people, trans women, immigrants, people of color, all the people who have trouble getting more traditional or more respected jobs. And that change is fairly dramatic in the trucking industry. So if you go to any truck stop anywhere and look around, you won't see, you know, the trucker that you saw in 1970s movies about trucking. You'll see a whole mix of all kinds of people out there. It's great.
You serve on the Women of Trucking Advisory Board. What's it like for women in this profession?
There aren't very many women. There are no statistics on how many trans people drive trucks. So that's complicated and something we need to change. But it's a dangerous job for women. That's true of any male-dominated industry. It's challenging. The industry doesn't make it easy. At the same time, the women who do it absolutely love it. They love the freedom. They love movement. They love being able to shape their own lives and jobs. I mean, I met so many women who consider it like the answer to everything that they get to do. Trucking, and you know, they hate it when I emphasize the dangers. they want me also to emphasize the adventure and the excitement of it.
Well, I do have to ask, what are those dangers?
Oh, rape is really common. Almost every woman I've met who drives truck has been raped or attempted raped. It's very common. And in training fleets, the model is set up to, if not encourage, at least permit people who've been accused of rape, and in some cases convicted of rape, to continue to train new drivers, which means they're locked in a cab with each other for 6 weeks or so, with one person in complete power over the other in terms of job security. So there are problems.
It's not. Thank you for detailing that for us. Anne Bailey's an activist, a labor organizer, a writer, also a former long-haul truck driver. And we're taking your calls here on the Ideas Network. And we've got Judith in Solon Springs who'd like to join this conversation. Hi, Judith.
Hi, thank you. My husband drove long-haul trucking for 10 years, and I used to go with him on occasion. And it was very interesting to go into cities and towns where they really did not want the truckers in town. And many times we were actually told, get in and get out as fast as you can because they don't like you here. And it would just kind of surprise me because where did they think they were getting their supplies from and their products and their whatever? It's the truckers that are bringing them in. But also I was always astounded by how the average driver on the road doesn't understand that that truck is carrying thousands of pounds of weight and can't stop and can't maneuver like a car can. And the risks that drivers of cars would take just blew me away. And in fact, one time my husband, I wasn't with him this time, but he was driving and somebody was following him too close. And when he stopped, they stopped quickly and actually went down under his back bumper and got caught on his bumper, and he was dragging that car. And he didn't know that, because when you have that great big trailer behind you and all that weight, he had no clue that he was dragging that car behind him until another trucker, this was back in the day of CBs, and another trucker got him online and said, you need to pull over because you're pulling a car stuck on your bumper behind you.
Wow. Judith, thank you so much for sharing that with us as a really incredible demonstration of what we're talking about when it comes to safety. We want to go to Neil in Minnesota now, too, who's also wanting to join the conversation about safety. Hey, Neil.
Hi, good afternoon. Great conversation, great topic. You know, but I do want to, I think it's important to stress that there are safe truck drivers and there are truck drivers out there that probably could be driving safer. Same with the average public. I work in the transportation industry. I used to drive semi years ago. I don't anymore, but I still work on the highways, and I see it every day from both the truck drivers and the traveling public. From driving too fast or too fast for conditions, tailgating, driving too close. That's something that everybody can have a part to improve on. One of the things that they've changed over the last couple of years, and I think it was February of 21 or 22, I can't remember, but they changed the CDL training requirements. You know, it used to be that you could go out and take a written test for a permit, jump in your buddy's semi and practice, and then go down, and if you were good enough, pass a written test. That's no longer the case. You have to go through an accredited training program, which is great. I think there's a lot of people out there that probably took some shortcuts getting their license. I think that's coming to an end. But there's still room for improvement. Health cards, for instance, a commercial operator has to every 2 years go and get a health card, go to see a doctor, make sure that they're fit. You know, there's a lot of organizations out there, a lot of government agencies that are exempt from those health cards, yet they're driving the same equipment, the same heavy 80,000-pound, 60,000-pound vehicle.
Yeah, Neil, thank you so much. I want to make sure that Anne has a chance to respond, because, Anne, we've got a lot of focus here on safety. And in this last bit of time we have with you, I wanted to know you know, what remains? What do you need to get across to people about safety for truck drivers and alongside them?
If truckers were paid more, they could drive in a safer manner, right? So when we talked about construction or by the mile pay, what that doesn't acknowledge is in order to support yourself, you need to drive under conditions that maybe you wouldn't choose to if you were emphasizing only your safety. And you have to in order to make enough money to support yourself. So if you don't make money when it's snowing or if there's traffic or an accident, in order to, you know, come clean at the end of the day, you have to keep going when you might be tired. And that just means all we have to do as a country is pay attention, value truckers as professional workers, and pay more so that you're not put under this pressure because of the wage structure to keep driving when you probably shouldn't. Because you're right, caller, that most truckers are safe drivers who really want to do a good job and have no desire to die at work, but are often put under really intense pressure to keep driving when they shouldn't.
And this has been a really informative conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about this.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's Ann Bailey, former long-haul truck driver herself. She's currently an organizer with the Service Employees International Union. She wrote the book Semi-Queer: Inside the World of Gay, Trans, and Black Truck Drivers, and joined us for a closer look at what's going on in the trucking industry after major freight company Yellow ceased operations earlier this week.